Isaiah chapter 9. A man named Joe Bailey, in his book entitled A View from a Hearse, kind of a morbid book, but he said, "Don't try to prove anything to a survivor. An arm around the shoulder, a firm grip of the hand, a kiss, these are the proofs of grief, the proofs grief needs, not logical reasoning." A lot of truth to that. And you know, the Lord Jesus Christ gives us greater comfort than any man can ever give us. When we are trying to comfort someone who's grieving, we can offer them a hug or a handshake or pray with them, but Christ gives greater comfort in every situation because He knows it perfectly. He knows the situation perfectly. And tonight, as we look here at Isaiah, I want us to look at the Christmas verse here in verse number 6. And I want us to take a look at the qualities of Christ that are described in this verse. It says, For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. This evening, as we look at these descriptions of Christ, I want us to look at each one of them and see the comfort that God gives us through these words. Notice the first one. Christ's first quality here is that of being the Wonderful Counselor. And while this quality may be divided into two, the Wonderful and Counselor, many scholars believe that the Hebrew puts it together and He's the Wonderful Counselor. Either way, the meaning is very similar. But Christ is that Wonderful Counselor. And we think of the word wonderful there, and it describes that which is marvelous. You know, you think of Christ is wonderful. He's marvelous. He is able to do amazing things. You know, this word, one commentator said that this word is used to represent something unusual or extraordinary. It also contains the idea of incomprehensible or extraordinary. He's the wonderful person. He's wonderful. He's also the counselor. And as a counselor, He gives us counsel or advice or guidance. And we need that regularly. I don't know about you, but I regularly go to the Lord and say, "Lord, I need your wisdom. I need your guidance. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to deal with this. I don't know how..." You know, even in preparation of sermons, I say, "Lord, I need your help. I don't know what you want me to preach. I need your mind." And it's great to be able to realize that He is our wonderful counselor. Thomas Constable says regarding the Wonderful Counselor that he says, "The Wonderful Counselor is literally wonder of a counselor. His counsel would transcend mere human wisdom." Absolutely true there. His counsel is always right. Even as we saw this morning, as we talked about how Christ was empowered by God's truth. He knew truth. Everything He said was absolutely right. And when He gives us counsel, and when the Spirit of God through Him gives us counsel, it's always right. And we can depend on it. Our hardest part is making sure that we heard right. Sometimes we think we know what the Lord wants, and we misinterpret things at times. But the Apostle Paul described Christ as the only wise God. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. Christ's counsel draws from His wonderful abilities. So He is all wise, and He has wonderful abilities, and He shares that with us. Now, when we need advice, we need to turn to Christ. Every time. And some people are able to give extremely good advice, and when I hear such advice, I sometimes marvel. Now, I listen to people and I say, "Why didn't I think of that? That is so discerning. That is so amazing." I've got a couple of commentaries like that. When I read it, I think, "Wow, I've read that verse a whole bunch of times. I didn't see that. And it seems so obvious now that I see it, but this guy brought it out." And I said, "Wow, that is really good." I remember when we were in the States, There was a one preacher that we heard. He's actually a missionary to Honduras. And he was a good preacher. And each message he preached, we were in a conference with him. Every message he preached, he brought all stuff. I thought, wow, that guy really can dig it out. And I didn't see that. That's really good. You know, there's some people like that really have ability to be able to give good biblical counsel. But you know, there's no one that can give counsel like Christ. Christ's counsel is far better always. It's always right and it's always exactly what we need. And our duty is to try to draw that out. He's not trying to hide it from us. He puts it in the pages of Scripture. That's why, remember there in Proverbs chapter 2, he says if we want wisdom, he says we need to seek it as we seek silver, search for it as we search for treasures. He says, it's there, you just got to dig it out. And people search for all sorts of things. You know, back in the years gone by when they'd have gold rushes and stuff, people would move across the country to go and try their best to try to discover gold. Search and search and search. And some of them spent the rest of their life looking. They get a little handful. And they, what a waste. But God says here, if we need to seek and search the Scriptures, and the Scriptures are full of God's wisdom. I love the book of Proverbs. It's so full of God's wisdom. And we need to spend quality time in there every single day. So much wisdom in the book of Proverbs and in the rest of the book, but the book of Proverbs is amazing. When Christ walked on this earth, his counsel was so extraordinary and awesome that even those who hated him could not find any flaws in it. They were out watching him, trying to catch a word that he'd say that would be wrong so they could attack him. They couldn't catch anything because he was always had perfect counsel. Amazing. And it would have been really awesome to be able to sit and listen to Jesus. You know, that's probably why there was thousands that would come. You know, the times he fed thousands and thousands on the hillside. Why were they there? Well, they at first they didn't know they were going to get fed. They were there because they wanted to hear his words. This guy can really speak. He speaks truth like we've never heard before. And you know, we have access to that. He is our wonderful counselor. And we need to draw on that. He sees the entire picture. He knows the exact right answer every situation. The Bible says of him in Proverbs 2, verse 6, "For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding." Psalm 19, verse 9, "The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether." He's always going to give us the right advice. And when you need direction, we need to seek him, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Colossians 2, 3. He possesses all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And just ponder that for a bit. The treasures, all the store of wisdom and knowledge is in Christ. And we can gain it from him because he is our wonderful counselor. When we lack wisdom, what did the Lord tell us to do? See, we need to ask. James 1:5. "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, it shall be given him." But he says, "Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed." Our problem is sometimes we'll ask, but think, "I don't know if he's going to help me with this one or not." And we waver. And he says, "If you waver, I'm not going to answer your prayer. I want you to trust me." He says, "I am the wonderful counselor. You need to trust me. I'll give you the right advice. I'll give you the right guidance." And when we read it in the Scriptures, we need to just trust the Lord. Yep, that's what God said. I'm going to trust the Word and depend upon it. So remember that he is our wonderful counselor. But notice again in that text verse, he said that not only is he the wonderful counselor, but he's the mighty God. He's the mighty God. Christ is the mighty God. Mighty here refers to that which is strong or valiant. It depicts the heroes of a warfield battle. Being God, he's unlimited in his power. And Christ is the strongest sovereign that ever existed because he is God. There's nothing too hard for him. Moses urged Joshua and the people not to fear their enemies when he said, "Thou shalt not be afraid of them, for the Lord God is among you, a mighty God and terrible." He's a mighty God. He's among you. He will help you. You don't need to be afraid. Jeremiah wrote in Jeremiah 32:17, one of my favorite verses in the Bible, "Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there's nothing too hard for thee." Nothing too hard for God. And so he is the mighty God. And when we need help in time of trouble, we can go to Christ. And when the troubles threaten to separate us from the love of God, we need to remember what Paul wrote in Romans 8:37. "Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us." And when we face situations that seem hopeless, remember Paul's prayer there in Ephesians 3:20. When he said, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think." It's an amazing prayer. "Can do above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." When the devil is tempting you to do or think something wrongly, we need to remember what John told us when he said, "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." 1 John 4:4. The Lord is great. He's our mighty God. So not only is he our wonderful counselor, but he's our mighty God. Jesus Christ is God. We saw that this morning as we looked at John 1:14. He is God in human flesh. And he is the mighty God, co-equal with the Father, and able to help us in every situation. But then we see the third quality described here by Isaiah. He said, he's the everlasting Father. The mighty God, the everlasting Father. Now, how could Christ be the everlasting Father? You know, that is a very difficult phrase. And Hebrew scholars wrestle with that, wondering, what exactly is he meaning by that? The Hebrew literally says, according to Barnes' notes, that he's the Father of eternity. The everlasting Father, the Father of eternity. Matthew Henry in his commentary says that he is God, one with the Father, who is from everlasting to everlasting. David Guzik in his commentary states, the idea in the Hebrew words is that Jesus is the source or author of all eternity. That he is the creator himself. It does not mean that Jesus himself is the person of the Father in the Trinity. So he's not saying he's the person of the Father, but he is the Father of eternity. He is the Father of all that exists. He is the source of all that exists. Kind of hard to get our head wrapped around it. That's why it's a difficult phrase for even the commentators. As God, Christ is eternal, just as the Father was eternal. And we read that verse in John 1:2 this morning. That says he is the same was in the beginning with God. Christ has always been existent. He existed in the beginning with the Father. He's always been. He is timeless. He's always existed. That Christmas verse there in Micah 5:2. It says, "But thou, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting." Speaking of Christ, he's been from everlasting. He's always existed. He's the everlasting Father. So Christ is also the eternal Father of our salvation. He purchased our salvation with His blood and made us His children. And you know, when we become afraid, we need to cling to our everlasting Father. Remember times when you were a child and you were afraid and you were walking with your father. I hope you were able to cling to Him and trust Him and depend upon Him. I remember many times as a boy in the farm, we'd be in scary places doing things. Maybe my most fearful thing was walking through the tall cornfields at night. There's nothing in there that was going to hurt me, but I just imagined all kinds of spooks. But as long as I was walking close to Dad or holding his hand, I wasn't afraid. But if Dad said, "Oh, you need to go back to the barn by yourself," I'd say, "I don't want to do that, Dad. I don't think that's a good idea." And I was just a young boy. And I was scared to go through that cornfield at night by myself. And it was dark and spooky. But there with Dad, it was always fine. And you know, the same is true with our Heavenly Father. You know, when we face those difficult times in life, the things that we've never gone through before, the hardships, the heartaches, the difficulties, we need to cling to our everlasting Father. Cling to the Lord Jesus. He's there to help us. As a loving Father, He will protect and provide for His children. But also as a loving Father, when we do wrong, He will discipline us in love. He's a wonderful Father to us. Christ, as our everlasting Father, is a refuge in the time of storm. Like the hen, He will protect His chicks from danger. I very vividly remember as a child watching the mother hens with their tiny little chicks. And the dog would come along, and the dog wasn't going to hurt them, but she didn't know that. And she would sound the alarm, and all those chicks would come running, and they'd dive under mom's wings. And you can see them peeking out through the wings, seeing what was going on. But mom was there to protect them. She would have defended them to the death. And so it is with the Father. The Lord Jesus Christ is our everlasting Father. He's there to protect us. He loves us. He provides our needs. He chastens when we do wrong to keep us in line. And He loves us dearly. He's our everlasting Father. You know, we live in a sad time of world where many, I think I can say safely, a vast majority of children growing up today do not know what it's like to have a loving father. Many of them don't even know who Dad was or is. Broken homes, heartache, single moms, a lot of sadness. It's hard. But they need to know who Dad is so that they can get a grip on these truths. Because when you read scriptures and it talks about our loving Heavenly Father, and people go, "Loving Father?" Those two words never crossed my mind together. It's tragic. But we live in a world like that. It's a sick world. And so we need to try to be an encouragement to the young generation around us. As our loving Heavenly Father and our eternal Father here, He is unchanging. It was said of Jesus in Hebrews 13:8, "Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever." Always. Always the same. He's 100% trustworthy. He will always be there when you need Him. Hebrews 13:5 says, "For He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Doesn't matter what kind of hard time we're going through, He's there to protect us, there to help us. He's our everlasting Father. So as you think on these things, there's so many wonderful truths here. He says He's a wonderful counselor. When we need advice, we can run to Him and He will give us right godly advice every time. He's the mighty God. He's the everlasting Father. But the next phrase, he says he is the Prince of Peace. Christ, the Prince of Peace. Peace, of course, is tranquility. It means prosperity, wellness, health, completeness, safety, where it entails all these things. Being the Prince, this tells us that he is the supreme ruler over peace. Do you need peace? Many times we need peace. You know, there's a lot of people that will go through this week, the Christmas week, a time when there ought to be joy and gladness, but there'll be heartache and sadness. And they need peace. Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace. He's the ruler of peace. He's the supreme sovereign of peace. He is the leader and chief and captain of our peace. He is in control of our peace and our health and our safety. He's all we need. He's a wonderful Savior. And when tempted to worry, we need to cast our cares on Him. He does not give, He does not just give us peace. He is peace. That's a wonderful truth. It's not just that He can offer us peace. He is peace. He is able to give peace in the midst of the most violent storm in life. Remember back in Jonah chapter 1, verse 5? Violent storm. And yet, when Jonah was thrown overboard, God instantly gave peace. And the sea stopped. And it was calm. We saw the same thing in Jesus' ministry in Mark 4:39. The wild storm, the disciples are frantic, they're fearful that they're going to sink to the bottom and be gone. And Jesus speaks the word, peace, be still. And it was calm. He is peace. Scheming often makes things worse. And often we can do nothing to change our circumstances that threaten our peace, health, and safety. But Jesus can. He's the Prince of Peace. He's the only one that can help us. We can scheme all we want, but it just makes it worse. We can worry, and that doesn't help at all. It just makes us more ill. Many times it adds to the problems. The only wise thing that we can do is to give our burdens to the Prince of Peace. Psalm 55:22, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Cast a burden on Him. And Philippians 4:6-7, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. These two verses are the theme behind the little chorus that I put together. Cast your burden on the Lord and He will keep you. He has promised He will never ever leave you. He will always be there ready to uphold you. Cast your burden on the Lord, for Jesus cares. When discouraged, ask the Lord to make you cheerful. Seek the comfort of the Lord when you are tearful. Trust the Lord with all your heart when you are fearful. Cast your burden on the Lord, for Jesus cares. Christ is a wonderful Counselor. He's the mighty God. He's the everlasting Father. He's the Prince of Peace. And if you will rely on these four qualities of Christ, you will be wiser and safer and comforted and at peace. That's what we need. Especially during this time of when everything is so full of turmoil in our world. We need peace. We need counsel. We need comfort. We need confidence that we have a wise God, an everlasting Father, to protect us and guide us through it. So I challenge you tonight to meditate on this verse over the next few days. Isaiah 9:6. Meditate on those qualities of our Lord. He's the wonderful Counselor. the mighty God, the everlasting Father, Prince of Peace.